Okay, last week, we were going to the basics of kashrus. We didn't get too far. We explained that there are certain animals that are kosher and certain animals that aren't kosher. And according to the Rambam, seemingly there's a mitzvah, at least if you want to eat meat, to know how to identify kosher animals and non-kosher animals. It's a mitzvah to know what the simonim are. And we said that when it comes to mammals, so there are two kinds of mammals. There's chayas and there's behemas. The difference between them is that a behema, the fact is that you have to shech them, right? And we'll speak about shechita at some later point, but you have to shech them in order for them to be kosher. But the blood of a behema does not have to be covered with earth. When the blood, after the slaughtering, you don't have to cover the blood. And the chalev, certain fats, which we'll discuss what fats they are, it's not regular fat. Regular fat is called shuman. Okay, that's mutter. Chalev is a different kind of fat. It's more or less the coverings of the diaphragm and the coverings of various organs. Though that's called chalev. It's not regular fat. That's prohibited in a behema. In a chaya, right, and what differentiates a behema from a chaya is a few different things, mostly what kind of horns they have, whatever. That's not really something we're going to go into, but we'll give you some examples of chayas and behemas. A chaya, the blood has to be covered when you slaughter it. You have to cover the blood with earth. And the chaylev is mutter. You're allowed to eat the chaylev of a chaya. Those are the basic differences between a chaya and a behema. But otherwise, they're the same kashrus-wise, meaning that both chayas and behemas have to have two identifying marks of kashrus. They have to have a cloven hoof, and they have to chew their cud. So we explained both of them last week, but I said I would bring pictures. So I might as well use this book. It cost me enough.
Is there a catch between chalev and chalav?
Chalav. No. No, it's two different. It's just spelled the same. Okay, these, believe it or not, are paws. They are not hooves. Okay? Cats, lions, or whatever. Right. They are, okay. A hoof is like over here. This is a donkey's hoof. Donkeys aren't kosher, or this is a camel, whatever. These are a hoof. The difference between a hoof and a paw is one is totally skin and flesh. And the hoof is like fingernail, hard, what's it called, material. Okay, that's a hoof. So that's one difference between paws and hoofs. Now, there's hoofs that are cloven. That's a cloven hoof, where it's what's it called? It's divided into two, this up here, right? It has two parts to it. So there's two, according to Tums, two simonim in the foot of a kosher animal. First of all, it has to be a hoof. It can't only be flesh and skin. It has to have that hard, nail-like material. And the hoof has to be split. It can't be like a horse completely around or a camel completely around. It has to be split into two things. And it says what's it called? It says two things, shosa shesa, and what's the other lashon? Mafrise parsa v'shosa shesa. So some learn the same thing. Mafrise parsa and shosa shesa, the same thing. Just Torah says in two different ways. Others say that it means that mafrise parsa means that they have to have this hoof. And shosa shesa means the hoof has to be split. And it, bottom line, pretty much everybody holds the same thing. That and the split has to be, what's it called, not just on the bottom, but all the way up. It has to be split completely completely up. And, okay, so that is one simen. And the other simen is that it has to be chew its cud. And chewing its cud means that it has a rudimentary stomach where the food goes into first, and then it's regurgitated, spit up, and chewed again. That's called chewing their cud. And the reason that animals have to chew their cud, and why the Rabbanu Shem made them to have this extra stomach so they can spit it, because they don't have the kind of teeth that can grind up the food well. The animals that are kosher don't have nivim. Nivim are fangs. Our fangs are incisors. Huh? Incisors. On the top, right? I have pictures of that in a second. And they only have teeth on the bottom of their the mouth. They don't have teeth on the top. Only the bottom. Right? What?
They have a pad.
They have a pad? Okay, whatever. As I get older, I'm becoming more and more kosher. I was reading this thing. It sounds like me. Okay. Here's a buffalo's mouth. In case you ever wanted to look into a buffalo's mouth. I spent enough of this safer to use it here. I never thought I'd ever use these pictures at all, and now Baruch Hashem. So they have a bottom teeth, and like Chagi said, there's a pad up here. Same thing over here, there's teeth on the bottom, but nothing on the top. And if you don't have teeth on the top, believe me, it's very hard to chew your food properly. And if you don't have incisors, here's a lion, if you ever want to look into a lion's mouth, who has, has incisors on the top. That's for tearing the meat or whatever. That's why, right? So you can. If you don't know if an animal chews its cud, right? In other words, you've just shechted it, and now it's not chewing anything, so you can't really observe it to see if it's chewing its cud. And you don't really have the rest of the animal, so you can check and see if it had a rudimentary stomach. So then you can check its mouth. And if you see that it doesn't have incisors on the top, and it doesn't have teeth on the top, only teeth on the bottom, then you can assume that it's a kosher animal, at least that it's what's it called, chews its cud, as long as you know that it's not a camel or a shofar narnevis, which chew their cud but don't have cloven hoofs. So if you know for sure the animal that you're looking at is not a camel, a shofar, or a narnevis, right, and it chews its cud, then it has to be a kosher animal, because those are the only ones that chew their cud that don't have a cloven hoof. And the same thing goes if you can see the hoof, and you know it's not a pig, then you know that it's a kosher animal. But if you're not sure if it's a pig or not, then it could have a cloven hoof and still be not kosher, because it could be a pig. So that is the behemos. Okay.
What is a Barbarossa? The pig that they found?
Barbarossa, was that a pig that chews its cud? Not sure. I don't know. The thing is like this. What exactly chewing your cud is, first of all, scientists say, well, the Torah is not true because rabbits and hares and whatever, are nevis and shofan, don't chew their cud, which is not true because they, to a certain degree, there is a way that they do chew their cud, right? Even though it may not be a scientific explanation, but it's what the Torah calls chewing your cud. They do that. Besides that, it could be that a shofar and a nevis, like we said last week, are not rabbits and hares, even though they normally translate that. It could be a different animal.
They don't have
conies or whatever. I don't know what a coney is. I don't know what's it called. It's an island in New York. But in any case, the whatever it is, it's an animal that is could be not what a rabbit or a hare, but a different animal that's called that's what a shofar and a nevis is. So this pig maybe not be a pig, maybe a variation of some other animal, and it may be that it, that doesn't chew, that's not called chewing your cud. Okay.
What about rabbits don't have hooves.
Who?
Rabbits don't have hooves. Anyway.
Right, that's why they trait. No, but they're not trait because they're not maligera. The Torah says these are animals that have one simen kashrus but not the other. As a pig has the simen of the split hoof and not chewing its cud.
What about the Muslim?
Who?
The Muslim.
Yeah, that. Okay, that will get to what's it called. This.
Rabbits don't have
tapis. What?
Rabbits don't have tapis.
Rabbits don't have tapis. Again, rabbits. Rabbits may not be a shofan or an evis.
Right.
Okay,
so. They don't have tapis. Well,
yeah, then they're not. Then lechora they don't chew their cud either, and those aren't the animals the Torah is talking about. Okay, don't confuse. The Torah said shofan and arnevis. It didn't say necessarily a what's it called a rabbit or a hare. So it could be that those aren't the animals the Torah is talking about. Now, the shaila is like this. So that's animals. Okay, we'll get to birds in a second. Let's get to birds first and then go back. Birds, the Torah doesn't say what the simonim of birds are. It just tells you which birds are not kosher. There are a certain amount of kinds of birds that the Torah mentions, and those birds and their species are not kosher birds. Every other bird is kosher. Okay. However, we can't identify all these birds. So the Rabbanan gave simonim to kosher birds. That if you have all these simonim, you know, even though the Torah didn't say the simon, but the Mesorah of what these simonim are, that if you have all these simonim, then none of these non-kosher birds have all of these simonim. Some of them have some of the simonim. So then, if you only have some of the simonim, you have to know it's not that non-kosher bird. Right, you have to be able to identify the specific non-kosher bird that has some of these simonim, and if you know that this bird has some of the simonim and it's not that specific non-kosher bird, then it's okay. But we don't know, again, we can't identify what exactly the non-kosher birds that the Torah speaks about. So we have to eat birds only with all the simonim. What are the simonim? The simonim are that it has an etzba yisera, that its foot, right, has an extra finger, whatever it's called by a bird, a claw, guess so, maybe. That what's it called? That is off to the side, so it doesn't have what's it called? That's one thing. Etzba yisera. It has to be kurkavano niklaf, the gizzard, right, which is the first stomach of a bird. The skin around it can be peeled off. That's another simon. And it's not a toref. It's not a bird of prey. It doesn't eat animals. Those three are the simonim of what's it called, of kosher birds. Something that has all three simonim theoretically is kosher. You see it has an extra finger. And I'll show you what that means.
What does that mean, extra finger?
Yeah, I'll show you one second.
They don't use it,
no, it's set aside from the other. Let me see if we can picture here. Picture somewhere. This has birds. Yeah, but it doesn't have pictures of them. That's what it looks like. I don't know. It doesn't have a picture. Maybe this has a picture. No, another picture. Whatever. You ever see a chicken? Chicken has, I think, three regular things and one off to the side. Right? Birds that can grab onto things because they're birds of prey don't have that extra thumb because it impedes them from grabbing things. So they have three things and they can grab with their claws, what's it called, mice or whatever else they eat. However, halachically, with birds, you need something else to be able to eat a bird. It has to have a mesorah, meaning that there is a tradition that that bird was eaten in the past, and the way that you got tradition means that obviously throughout history these birds were known to be kosher. So with birds for sure you need a mesorah. If you find a bird that has all the simani kashrus, but there was no mesorah that that bird was eaten, you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, now, different communities can have mesorahs. And it could be that a community that has a mesorah, right, but another community didn't have a mesorah, that the other community can't eat that bird, and they can't rely necessarily on the mesorah of the other community. Right? That we'll speak about separately, not now, but I want to go back now to animals. So when it comes to birds, there has to be a mesorah that that bird was eaten. Since the birds don't have clear simanim that the Torah speaks about, okay? And the simanim are basically rabbinic, alpi mesorah, therefore we're very careful that even if a bird has all the simanim that the rabbis gave, if you don't have a mesorah that that bird was eaten, then you can't eat it. Because maybe, what's it called, maybe the bird is a toraf and you just don't see it. Maybe it is a bird of prey, right? And then it would be not kosher. And maybe it's just, you know, decided now that it want to change its diet. So unless there's a mesorah that this bird was eaten, you can't eat a bird. Which brings up problems with birds that were indigenous to the New World and could not have had a mesorah to be eaten in Europe. Are they kosher or not? One of them is a turkey. So that we'll get to at a different point. I just wanted to bring this up because does that halacha apply to animals, to mammals, or only to birds? What should be the difference? The difference is that by mammals, the Torah says a simanim. Torah tells you that if it chews its cud and it has a cloven hoof, it's kosher. And there are no animals that have a cloven hoof and chew their cud that are not kosher. And there are no animals that only have one of the simanim except the ones the Torah mentions. So you're pretty clear what's kosher and what's not kosher when it comes to mammals. So the chari shouldn't need a mesorah. And there are many poskim hold. You don't need mesorah when it comes to animals. As long as you see it has a cloven hoof and it chews its cud, even if there was never a mesorah that that animal is eaten, right, that's okay. There are poskim, amongst them the Magen Avraham, the Chochmas Adam, and the Chazon Ish holds like that, that if you have an animal that is significantly different than any animal that you had a mesorah that was eaten throughout history, then you can't eat that animal. There must be a mesorah by animals too. Recently, there was a big controversy by a zebu. Zebu is an animal that's in South America. It doesn't look like a regular cow because it has a big hump on its back. I have a picture of one here. Here. This is a zebu. It's a humped cow. It's very different than the regular cows that you see outside. Okay? I mean, see around. Okay? So, according to the Chazon Ish, the zebu is significantly different than regular cows, and there was no mesorah to eat zebus, and therefore, it can't eat it. According to many other poskim, it has a cloven hoof and it chews its cud, and by animals, you don't need a mesorah, and therefore it's kosher. The same thing applied to a jamus, which is a water buffalo. That's a water buffalo. There was no, water buffaloes are basically from America, right? The Indians are the ones that went after them. So, they weren't in Europe. Bison, right, that's a big Shiloh also. Bison also looks different than a regular ox or whatever, and it's also indigenous to America. There are many poskim who hold that they clearly chew their cud, and they, have cloven hoofs, and therefore they're kosher. There are European buffaloes, but they look different.
What about turkeys?
What? Well, turkeys is a bird.
But indigenous to America.
I know, but since we're not talking about birds, and turkeys are not, don't have cloven hoofs and chew their cuds, we'll leave it to when we speak about birds. But right now we're speaking about animals.
A gnu.
A gnu? I don't know. I don't know if that's there's in the store or not. If I'm wondering what animals. So these animals, right, another one that they have is different kinds of deer. Shiloh, what's it called? Which deer there was a Masorah to eat and which deer they didn't have a Masorah to eat? And again, there are different kinds of deer. The question is like this. If they are so similar to animals that there was a Masorah, we say they're included in that Masorah. But where they're so different, then it becomes a big Shiloh. So with this Zebu, there were poskim who said that even though it's very different than the cows that we have a Masorah for, but you don't need a Masorah for animals. And they held as kosher. And they're poskim basically with the Chazon Ish that it's different enough to need a Masorah, and it wasn't. The Chazon Ish never spoke about a Zebu. He spoke about a different animal. What was the one that he spoke about?
Yeah, what's the reason of the Chazon Ish and the others who say that he needed a Masorah?
They hold that just like by birds, that was added as a safeguard, the same thing was added by mammals. Even though the birds could have also three simonim, right? Still, they were makbid that you have to have a Masorah. That same halacha applies to animals. That's what they hold.
So they don't hold
that it's an extra mile of what?
They don't hold in that the four animals mentioned specifically in the Torah are a closed unit?
Those four animals only have one simon.
Right.
These have mamish two simonim. They said that in the Chanami, really, Minatora, it's for sure okay. But the Rabbanan made a siog that unless you have a Masorah, you can't eat. For whatever reason. And many poskim hold that Masorah, the siog, was only by birds because there could be a problem. But by animals, there can't be a problem. There's no reason for a Masorah.
Don't you
research
know
the kind of shaft? What? No, basically, what its trachea and esophagus look like,
that would mean you're saying about the giraffe?
What?
They
don't even sort how to shaft it. You know what's it called? Basically, what a neck looks like, and there's halachas of which part of the neck you shaft. That's not. Why don't we eat giraffe? Because there was never a Masorah to eat giraffe meat. That's basically the reason. Because a bison, no. That's the bison, in America there are, the OU I think is Maksha. They hold that those animals are so similar to animals with a Masorah that it has a Masorah. But a giraffe is not similar to any animal that has a Masorah, right? The Zebu, this was the same Shiloh. Just because they're matir buffalo meat, they hold the buffalo is not significantly different than animals that had a Masorah. Right? There's two ways you can be machshir an animal that doesn't have a specific Masorah. One is that it's close enough to an animal that did, or that you don't need a Masorah. So to say that it's close enough to an animal that did, that's one thing. To say that you can eat animals without a Masorah, that's a big machlokas apostle. But when you compare it to something, it did have a Masorah, it's a different thing. Okay.
How does it work, Paskin?
How do I Paskin? I'm not... I once ate buffalo meat. A buffalo hot dog.
Which kind of...
No, they had them in America. They had what's it called. Subsequent to that, since there are poskim who hold that the buffalo is not included in the Masorah, I never ate it again. The kavana, what's it called, wasn't that really good anyway, so it wasn't good diet to get it. It wasn't different too much, and it cost about double what a regular hot dog cost. So it wasn't kedai. But it's not kedai again. Unless you're dying for, to eat bison or deer meat or whatever, and people in America, there's nothing else to do, so they're going out, they get buffalo meat or whatever, it's like something to do. So then, if it's, something that really, really is important to you, then maybe it could be nakel, but if there's no purpose to it, right, then since there are people who hold that it's not mutter, it's not kedai. There's other things to eat.
Yeah, you can eat buffalo chicken wings.
You can eat, right. The things that are really a shaila where there's no masorah, that's more of an inyan, and those things you should avoid eating, since there is a chazon ish who holds that that those things you're not allowed to eat. So there it's more of an inyan. Again, if there's a tzorah and there are legitimate poskim who we follow who say either that it's close enough to animals to have a mesorah, or in this situation you don't need a mesorah, whatever the psak is, then if there's poskim who we hold from who say that it's okay and it's mahadrin to eat that, fine. Right? If not, then you have to be choshish for sure for the chazon ish.